I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
All right, folks, this week we chat with a 41-year-old mother named Mara, who is a TV reporter and a disability advocate who is legally blind. Lovely conversation. She's an absolute sweetheart, and we had a blast speaking with her. And then after that, the boys and I sit down, and we talk about something very trippy. It's called, here we go, prosopometamorphosia. Enjoy.
I never really get a chance to see what goes on behind cameras. Usually when I do podcasts, it's already straight to like the host is already sitting all proper and
I was going to say you don't often get a chance to see much, but I guess we'll
get into that. But I know, but you know what? You'll be fucking surprised at what I see. I see things that's like my husband doesn't even see, and I'm like, trust me, I know it's fucking there. Okay.
Sounds like my mom.
I'm a mom.
I saw that. I'm like, what?
I'm probably older than all of you guys. I'm a mom. And. Yeah.
You don't look older than us.
I'm pretty sure I'm older than you guys. I feel like you guys are young kids.
I know that you are because I know you wrote in your bio how old you are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing 72, 74.
I am. Like I'm actually 41, and I'm so proud to just be where I am. I feel great.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You only had a few years on JR.
Yeah. I'm getting up there. I'm a fucking dinosaur in the CF world. Well, guys, I'm really excited to introduce to you our new friend, Mara. And the way that Mara and I connected is through this really cool campaign that both of us were a part of called Patient Voice. And it was through Patient Voice. It was Canada's Rare Voices, and it was basically a campaign to spread awareness on rare diseases for Rare Disease Day, but not just the day of Rare Disease Day.
On the rarest day of the year.
Yeah, this year it was. That's right. So I looked into it. Rare Disease Day is the final day of February, not specifically February 29th, which would be.
But they get a big boost every 4 years.
That's right. Yeah. So Mara and I got to connect over the fact that we were both part of this campaign. And I was really excited to have Mara share her story on the show because I think it's going to be an absolute treat. So Mara, first of all, thank you for sitting down and joining us. You've already told us that you are a 41-year-old woman, but maybe give a little bit more of an introduction. Introduce yourself to the three of us, to our listeners. Who is Mara Hutchinson?
Hi, guys. I am Mara. I am from Toronto. I am pretty much what you call, I'm a stay-at-home mom who shares her story online. I'm also a TV reporter for AMI, Accessible Media. And I'm a woman, a wife who is legally blind, losing her vision to a rare disease called retinitis pigmentosa. And I've been living with this rare disease for over 13 years now. And I don't know, man, I'm just someone who just likes to chat and sharing my journey online. And it led me to, I guess, what you call a content creator. I don't even know, but here I am.
That's the hip word for it these days.
It just feels weird. When I talk to people or when I do campaigns or work with brands, it says influencer or content creator. And I'm always just wild or weirded by it Because I'm usually just, I always say, I'm just me. I am just someone who likes to talk shit. And I share a lot of my stuff online and then in hopes that someone's listening, I guess. And yeah.
Do you, Mara, do you know our friend, the blind biohacker?
No.
Oh, wow. That's a throwback.
That is a throwback for sure.
That's like what, 7-8 years ago, maybe?
It is.
Really?
It's a long time. So we had, I think we've only had one other person on the podcast ever, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, who refers to himself as the blind biohacker. Who also has...
Yeah, we've only ever had one person who refers to themselves as that.
He's the only blind biohacker we've ever had on the show.
I'm probably friends with them online.
He is, but he is the only other person that we've had on the podcast with retinitis.
Yeah, it sounds funny, huh? Retinitis pigmentosa.
We just referred to it as RP.
RP, but, yes.
My question for you is, the only thing that I really remember from that conversation, because it was so long ago, of course, if it was more recent, I would definitely remember a lot.
Can I guess what you remember?
Yes.
Blue light.
No, but yeah, that's right, actually. So that's the second thing. Blue blockers was a big thing.
Right.
But he had this, I think he had this device with him that he showed us that sort of gives the user like an experience of what it would be like to live with RP. And it was, I think if I remember correctly, it was like a toilet paper tube with a cover on the end and a pinhole in the tube. And so like when you looked through it,
oh, great memory, Brian.
You could just look through this pinhole and that was all that you could see. How much does that resonate with you?
It really does. Cause whenever somebody will ask me, well, what do you see? If you're blind and so on, right? What do you see? So we like to give an example of toilet paper roll, or my example is usually a straw because my center vision is really smaller now. So my right vision is like looking through a juice box straw, let's say, because I don't have peripherals anymore. So it's just in that center vision, but it's so small because it just gets smaller and smaller as the years progress. And I mean, that's how I usually describe my vision, is looking through a small straw. And my left vision is pretty much, I see lights and outlines only. I don't have much clear center vision anymore. So, I mean, but examples are what you said, the toilet paper roll, or I like, for me, it's usually a straw. Because it's much more smaller than that.
And so you were saying that is progressive. But what, like, did you ever have, like, quote unquote, full vision?
Yes. Well, I was born with this disease. And it usually just shows up, I guess, whether early childhood, late teens, or early 20s. But I had full vision. But then as I was growing up, I was always known as the clumsy person. And especially high school days, like I was always falling, bumping into things. And I guess as the years went on, I actually spoke to my doctor because I ended up getting glasses around grade 6. And I said around in my late 20s, I said, I feel like something's wrong because in movie theaters or when I'm clubbing and so on, I honestly can't see in the dark. And then I even had to set an example of, if I'm looking straight at you guys, I don't see anything around like my peripherals if I'm looking straight. So from there, it was like, okay, trying to figure out what was really going on. And then after many specialists, many doctors, it led to, yes, I was diagnosed with RP.
And would glasses even help with that?
No. A lot of people ask me that. No. It helps with my center vision of what's left because, like I said, growing up, or I was always wearing glasses, my contacts. I have contacts on right now. Because of that center vision, it's blurry. On top of like not having any vision remaining, but that center 5% vision that I'm holding on to is freaking blurry.
It's annoying.
It's fucked, right? Yeah. So I have to put on my contacts because I have to put on my sunglasses all the time.
Mm.
And then if I don't have my contacts on, I put on my eyeglasses.
So just back to the blind biohacker, Victor.
Mifsud. Gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Mara, yeah. You and Victor both him. Follow each other on Instagram. I'm looking at it right now. So you guys are mutual friends, which
yes,
is great.
Yes. No, he's in Mexico right now. I feel like
cool.
But anyways, yes, I know him. I know him.
Hacking together something down there.
Great guy.
We recorded with him in Toronto. So right. I figured you might know him.
Yes. So this is really interesting. So you had, you know, you had vision, or at least you feel like you had regular vision. The funny part is, like, you know, maybe you never really did and you never knew properly, because like how would you know, right? Like, you know, how do you
like
know?
Is my red the same as your
right.
red?
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, how do you know my red's your red? But one thing I would love to kind of clarify here, because I know one of the big things that we're going to be diving into in talking to you today is sort of like the public perception of blind, and how, you know, I think for the most part, generally the population, when they think of someone who is blind, they think of, like, you know, Stevie Wonder, you know, someone with like dark black glasses, can't see a fucking thing.
They're completely blind.
And, you know, yeah, exactly. So
I feel like completely blind is fairly rare.
I was literally going to say, even that, you know, Stevie Wonder, I've seen Stevie do things where I go, well, maybe there's a little bit of vision there, right? It's like blind. Yeah. Well, that guy definitely sees sound. Coming right out of his fucking fingertips, for sure.
Right.
But the question that I have for you is, let's talk a little bit about the term legally blind. What constitutes as legally blind? You know, where does somebody have to be in order to get that? I don't know, like, label. Who labeled me as legally blind? Yeah, who's the arbiter of legal and blindness?
I mean. She is at Sunnybrook Hospital, that's for sure. Who told me I'm legally blind? Your files and everything will go strictly to the ministry, because, you know, you can't be driving anymore, this and that. Because even to this day, when I say I'm legally blind, it's because of what my specialist said, is because of the percentage that I pretty much just see.
Mm.
But like I said, like what we're all talking about with Stevie Wonder and many people that have RP or different eye conditions, is that there's only 2% that's completely blind in this world. And when I say I'm legally blind, it doesn't mean I'm completely blind. It just means that I have very low vision, but I'm able to see something. And that goes with majority of us, because there's different types of eye disease. I pretty much don't know what other conditions may be seeing, but we see a little bit of something. Like, there's only 2% in this Earth's population that's completely blind.
Have you ever had any experiences where you're, like, walking down the street and somebody who, like, do you use a?
Oh my gosh!
What is the actual name of the?
Oh, the white cane.
I call
cane.
It a seeing eye cane, but
that's, I think, well, that's what that's.
It's
what
called
I
the white cane.
Brian, you can cancel white Brian. Cane. He said seeing eye cane. You're canceled. Get the fuck out
I know.
Of here, buddy.
You know what? It's okay. I will let it slide. A lot of people are sensitive about certain things. And I'm not that sensitive when it comes to what people may call the white cane. Because my son calls it a stick. And I'm not going to be upset about that. And this is why I do what I do. We educate. We try to just kind of share a little bit about my life and who people like me, right? So don't worry, I'm all good. Like, you can call it whatever, but it is called a white cane.
Okay, you have a white cane and you use it. Have you ever been walking down the street and using it, and you see somebody who thinks that they're fucking with you because they think that you're like 100% blind?
Oh, 100% all the time. I'm walking and there's people going back and forth as my stick is legit like in front of
what
me,
the
they
fuck?
Will jump purposely to just fuck around, or they will follow me and really be amazed at, like, why is this woman?
Why does she know I'm? Why does she know I'm following her?
Like, well, there are times when they're just following me and in front of me sometimes. And one incident was that I had to stop and pause for a little bit and just be like, "Do you want a picture of me? Because I'm all about that. Like, you want a picture because you clearly are so amazed at how I look like." And I think because they have this image of what a disabled person should look like.
Yeah, exactly.
Or what a legally blind or just people with disabilities, right?
Yeah. Again, like back to the Stevie Wonder thing, it's like I think people that don't have awareness of the fact that disability looks completely different, you know, there's no one size fits all. Like generally, people would assume, okay, person with a white stick, typically they're going to have glasses over their eyes.
White cane.
Typically they're going to have her son says white stick, so I'm going to say white stick.
He's canceled, though. He decided that.
Cancel me, motherfuckers. and then, you know, glasses on, kind of head tilted up a little, you know, like not really looking forward usually. It's always kind of like up and off to the sides. But in your case, I mean, for people that are just listening and not watching on YouTube, if I was looking at you right now, Mara, I would not have any idea that you are blind. You know, your eyes look beautiful. They're Thank not you. That blind people's eyes don't look beautiful, but like they just look like everyday normal everyday. Eyes. You use your eyes, you track your eyes in a very normal way. There's nothing, everything is typical. Everything looks typical. I'm trying to not use the word normal and more so use the word typical because I think that's more appropriate and accurate. But you do not you do not look like the stereotypical person who is blind.
Yeah.
Which, like, again, you know, you're to the point of the question you were kind of pointing to there, Bri. I can imagine that there's lots of examples of people interacting or looking at you with like kind of scratching their head going like, what the fuck is going on here? Like,
why are you fucking like, this just, faking it?
Yeah. Are you faking, are you faking this thing?
Yeah. So the question that Jared's getting at is, are you faking it?
Yeah. Man, I wish I was faking it. And I wish I was, you know, I actually had somebody recently comment on my stuff and saying, you know, you're faking it and so on. Honestly, if I fucking was faking it, I would not be crying when, let's say, a pair of shoes is ruined that I spent money on. Or there are times when I'm just like, I wish I was able to drive and take my son somewhere and we don't have to commute all the time. Mm-hmm. Because I fucking hate the bus sometimes and people are rude, right? And people don't give a shit about people like me. So I don't know. I mean, people really need to figure out why would you fake something when I feel so isolated most of times, right?
Just to be specific here, when we're talking about legally blind, visual acuity less than 20/200 is considered legally blind.
I don't understand. Somebody has told us about these numbers before. What does that mean, Mara?
So pretty much our percentage of, because you, the 20/20 vision, right? So I would say I only have 5% in one fucking eye. So I'm way below that. That's why maybe it is called legally blind for me.
If I have 20/20 vision and Mara has 20/200, Mara stands where I stand and I'm seeing the camera away from us 20 feet away. I'm seeing that clearly. Now Mara stands and looks at the camera. I would be seeing what Mara sees when I stand 200 feet back.
Whoa.
So 200 feet behind that way, and Mara's 20 feet away, I see it with the clarity of her, but I'm 200 feet back.
So is 2010?
2010.
You're above average?
That's right.
Okay.
You see 20 feet away what most would see at 10 feet away.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you guys this.
Okay.
Becoming clear.
So Jeremy is the one in the middle with orange cap, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking just at Jeremy, I don't see you two at all.
Okay.
I have to move
what a pleasure.
I have to move my eyes to my left to see, is that Brian?
Mm-hmm. Yep,
yeah.
I'm over here.
So if I want a big picture, I got to make sure I'm scanning my eyes.
And when you don't have contacts in, like...
Oh, I won't be able to see you guys at all.
You wouldn't see... Right, you wouldn't see
any... It's so blurry. Like,
it, right, okay. Yeah.
And are you also... I hope you're not able to see that Jer is just in his underwear, because like Jer has this thing, like Jer has this kind of thing. He has this preconceived notion of people who are blind. And he always just wears like the absolute bare minimum to these whenever we record. Right, and
which is why wouldn't you? And so it just makes the day easier.
It seems like he's made a miscalculation, because you can indeed see. And which yes. I'm sorry
if
that
I look
I'm
down,
sorry how offensive.
Then
I didn't realize Mara had fucking contacts that can allow her to see a little bit.
and
trust me,
see,
a little bit is all she needs to see, because a little bit is all there is. If you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements?
I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories, so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Mara, I had a question about white canes. I'm really interested in white canes, as you can probably tell. And I'm curious. I bet, I've never really thought of this, but I bet there's like different types of white canes in terms of like, I mean, it's like a functional tool and obviously it's really helpful for you. But I'm
like, are you talking like Bluetooth, like enabled, or like, what do you mean when you say types?
I'll tell you exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of like, you know, like the wands in Harry Potter?
Yeah.
How like everybody gets their own wand. There's
some people that use that.
Yeah. There's like something special about them.
Horse hair, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mara, like,
so the one that doesn't have, it's just like the wand looking. And sometimes they can tap it on the ground. Sometimes you don't have to tap it on the ground. People use that to just kind of indicate that I am visually impaired. Like something is wrong with my eyes. I can't see much. Okay. I have the one that has the rolling tip where I let it glide. So when I let it glide on the ground, that is really to just really guide me and allow me to walk on my own.
Like, you're like swiping back
yes,
and forth.
Yes, I'm swiping like and trying to fucking hit people if they don't want to move out of my way.
Yeah.
But there's people that just like to hold on to that wand. They don't really use it in terms of tap, you know, on the ground, just to kind of let people know I'm visually impaired.
Yeah. Mm. So when you go to CNIB and they're like, hey, we're going to hook you up with a white cane, do they say like, listen, you're going to go like down to like Jerry's cane shop and Jerry's going to like retrofit you with like, you know, these ones have like rubber grips. These ones are like, you know, like we can mold these to your hand, or like, are there cool things about them, or are they just like, you just get your standard issue white cane?
There's, cause we get one every year, brand new one every year. And they recommend
you wear them out? do they like wear down?
I mean, the tips got to get worn down, right?
The tips actually will be... there's one time where I didn't even order... because my journey has been a very, very difficult one from the very beginning. So I didn't even bother calling CNIB and be like, hey, I need a new one. Until like I actually was able to really accept and really be comfortable with the white cane and just... and, you know, just really continue to live my life. So when I've had another appointment to get another new one, they're like, why didn't you call us sooner? Because the tip, the ball was so worn down that it was like, what was the whole point of, you know, it? How was it gliding to begin with?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're like, did you guys forget that I can't see it?
I've got a great idea for a white cane, technological innovation here. So you've got the handle. Everybody, your hands on the handle.
There's the hilt.
Yeah. There's some type of sensor near the end of the cane.
Yeah.
And as you approach something that's like maybe
it's like Tesla's
a step change or something.
Yes.
Like if you're going off a sidewalk, it gives you haptic feedback. It notices. It notices within a certain distance, maybe within like 5 feet, that there's there's going to be a step change down or a step change up,
yeah.
And it's got like different haptic feedback sensations that tell you whether you need to step up, you need to step down.
That's actually fucking genius, dude.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know what? You guys should come up with this. I feel like we need something like that. I don't. There's nothing like that right now, to be honest with you.
We'll call it Mara Vision.
I'm all for it. And then we'll fucking make money.
Mara Lack of Vision.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Turn this disability into a money machine.
Right?
Profitability. Disability to profitability. That's our slogan.
That's what we need.
Mara, I'm sorry that I'm just staying on the white cane, but I'm very, very.
I know you're so fascinated with this.
And, it's okay.
I have a brand new one upstairs. I will send it over to you if you like to just test it out.
Well, actually, I do have a question though. Like, so when you were saying that there are different types, I've seen ones that like fold. Is that
mine?
Do they all do that, or
like a They do fold so that I could fold it, put it in my purse.
Yeah.
You know, and I just go out and about and then unfold it, whatever.
Another but there are different innovation. Types. They One button, know. It extends, contracts. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Daredevil has that feature installed in his.
Okay,
and then he uses it to beat the living fuck.
So Brian with the white cane.
My last question on the white cane is I'm imagining that when you get your white cane, I feel like it's almost this like, could be this thing that some people see as like a symbol of their disability, like an outward sort of symbol that says to, you know, the public that like, oh, I'm legally blind or I am visually impaired. And I'm wondering if that has some sort of like emotional effect, or you think about that at all. Like the first time you get a white cane and you go to use it in public, do you think about, like, does it make you feel a certain way?
Oh, all the time. I mean, as much as I've already accepted my condition and I'm always out with my white cane, I think it's because how people look at me, though. I'm so confident of being out and about on my own or whoever I'm out with my white cane, but it's how people look at me that makes me sometimes feel awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know if I'm embarrassed now or what, but it's like, I used to be very embarrassed. Like, I used to be embarrassed walking out with my white cane because it's now really allowing, like telling the world and telling people that something is wrong with me. But then as the years went on and you really accept the new life that you're creating, why would I be embarrassed? Like, this is me now and I need this to help me be the independent person that I am.
Totally.
But yeah, I feel like it's the people that makes me feel like shit when they look at me.
It's weird because like it's this tool that gives you this ability to like navigate the world in a more accessible way. And it makes your life easier. But at the same time, there is that like, you know, the extra stigma and sort of like that embarrassment that you described that you could feel at the same time. So I feel like there's like this, you know, like double-edged sword in that sense where it's like good in these ways, but also could be
very
bad in other ways.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that happens with a ton of different disabilities, illnesses, diseases, like, you know, people who have respiratory diseases, like we've covered the topic of aero chambers and like they're big and they're bulky and like you carry them around. They're kind of this like symbol of this thing that you deal with. And at the same time, it's like, yep, this makes your treatment more effective, but it's also something that just like sends a signal to like everybody around you that you've like, you're dealing with this thing that either like invites unwanted conversation or invites stigma or whatever. So yeah, I feel like that's kind of present in a lot of different things where this thing that helps you is also something that kind of like limits you or has like a negative impact on you, on your life in some way.
Oh, 100%. Like as soon as you walk in and you have, you know, the white cane, it's like, oh, it's like they see me as a different person versus like just seeing me as for who I am, right?
Yeah, the blindness or the like the visual impairment is like the first thing rather than the thing that comes later after they know you. It's more, it's like, yeah, it's like kind of the front facing piece of information that people get.
100%. And I mean, that's why I do what I do in terms of like just sharing that, you know, we're special and we can do all sorts of things and I still have the life that I deserve, even with everything that I'm dealing with, right?
I'm curious, you know, when talking about I'm trying to get the correct pronunciation here. Retinitis pigmentosa.
Yeah.
So considering that that is a disease that seems to be progressive, or at least it has the, you know, the oftentimes is progressive, so it will potentially lead to a point where you can't see anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any sorts of sort of rehabilitation or exercises or like, you know, sort of like eye training that you have been advised to do or have come across throughout your time in dealing with this?
The reason why I'm laughing is because one of the doctors, well, majority of the doctors that I've seen, they're like, don't smoke, right?
And sure, yeah.
Right? Why? So it's because the smoke causes you to lose, the oxygen is not flowing right for your eyes.
Mm.
So
I wonder if there's any doctors out there going, you know what, you have this disease. I'm going to say one thing. It's going to come as a surprise, but smoke them if you got them. Just fucking spark up every moment you got.
I don't know who's going to listen to this, but I'm not going to, because I don't
maybe
really share.
Incurable fucking pancreatic cancer where you have like,
right?
You know, maybe
I don't know.
Less than 6 months to live.
But that was one of the things that they did say. And then eat a lot of vegetables, which I already do. A lot of greens, okay. Take your normal vitamins, who knows.
Carrots, probably. My parents always told me, eat your carrots if
was
you want to see like
that's
a
right.
rib.
Yeah, that's carrots, right. It was yeah. carrots.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I said, well, too bad. I fucking hate carrots. Yeah. And now I just found out that I'm likely going to contract macular degeneration.
And if you want good memory, it's apple juice and apples.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry, I cut you off there. But veggies are great.
Yeah, veggies are great. But it was the smoking that killed me. Because, okay, like I said, I don't know who's watching this. I haven't really shared this much on social, but I will say it now. I smoked here and there before, right? And not cigarettes, but another. Anyways, so when crack. They said that, I was like, what? You know. But anyways, that's a different story.
I
think that's just one of the wild things that I always will have with my doctors. Like, you know, don't smoke, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay.
How much did, you know, from that day of being told that to now, I believe you said it was like 16 years. How much has your vision degraded since?
So when I got married, my specialist did ask us if we were thinking of having children, because there's a possibility that if I'm pregnant, I could lose more vision, and also it can be passed down to my children. So there's a chance that my son can have what I have. And, you know, you're just okay. You're just taking it all in, just listening to your specialist. And then I became pregnant and she was right. I lost more vision. And I think that's what led me to just maybe not seeing much anymore on my left and just having about 5% in my right eye. So that's why when people ask me now, how come there's only one? I only have one kid. Well, there's a fucking reason why. Because I don't know what can happen if I become pregnant again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know why that happens when you get pregnant? Like why that contributes to losing your vision faster?
That's fascinating.
I have no idea, to be honest with you. She just told me I
You're
could have...
You're seeing for two.
Maybe that, or maybe just because of, I'm assuming the energy or the way the whole blood flow. I have no idea. A woman's body is fucking insane. Yeah. And that's another topic.
I was joking when I say you're seeing for two, but like that is it. Like you've got...
Right? Like you're eating for two, but you're also seeing for two. Who fucking knows?
Your body's working overtime because your body has another body in it that it needs to support.
Dude, it's so, so nuts.
It is nuts. We are so alien. It's so wild.
What was like the impact?
I'm a crazy alien, by the way.
Like we spent quite a bit of time like thinking about this topic in terms of like passing on, you know, people living with an illness that is has a genetic component to it and it can get passed on, and how that influences the way that people think about having children. And did you think much about that, or was it who knows? There's a chance that we could have a baby that could be born healthy. There's a chance that they could be born with 1,000 different things. You know, there's just maybe a slightly bigger increase in risk of this one particular thing.
No, I never. No, I always knew that I wanted a child. Like, I always knew that I wanted to be a mom. And I figured whatever fucking life takes me, like, wherever it goes. And because at the end of the day, it's like, what am I going to lose type of thing. All I knew is that I just prayed to have a child. And if he does have it or not, like, we'll figure it out. I could have had him tested when he was still in my belly, but I didn't want any type of genetic testing going on yet at that time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, I knew I was just meant to be a mom, and I'm very blessed that I am one.
What did you, you know, you mentioned how there was that point where you just didn't want to go on, but things have changed, obviously, pretty dramatically. You're a patient advocate. You know, you're here on this podcast talking about it, laughing around, joking with us.
I know.
At what point in your life did you start to find the confidence within yourself to be able to own the fact that you are living with this?
My gosh, you're getting me so emotional. I think is when my husband, because like I said, I wasn't doing shit with my life. I was always just cooped up, crying, this and that. And I think is when my husband came home from work, and obviously the same shit over again, he's probably thinking. And he told me, I am the only one that's missing out on life. Like, life still goes on. And the many times that maybe because I was suicidal as well. So maybe he kind of put in perspective where you're meant to be here. If those many times that you try to not be around, you're here though. So there has to be a purpose. And I'm the only one that's missing out on what's out there because life still goes on. And I had, you know, I thought about it, and he is right. It didn't click to me right away, obviously. But I just really need to accept that this is me now. Like, this is part of me, and what can my life be? And if I did give up and if I didn't listen to him, I wouldn't have my family. I wouldn't be able to meet so many incredible people, such as you guys, honestly, and just kind of continue living. Whether if I'm just going for a walk and having my coffee or something, or meeting a friend, like, I wouldn't be where I am if I gave up like 13 years ago.
What would you say is the biggest thing that retinitis pigmentosa has taken away from you?
I think being fully independent. As much as I say I'm an independent person, I'm obviously not. And just certain things that I wish I was able to do because I have a child. You know, I can't just pick up and go and take him here. So, like, I'm getting emotional. We don't want this, but...
No, we do. This is good. This is you.
There are times when I have to really plan out his activities, because there are certain activities that he does where I want it to be convenient that I could just hop on the bus. But there are certain places that are very far that I have to kind of schedule, well, will it work for us so that I could catch a ride with somebody? I think that's my main thing, because I see moms or parents in general where
They're out and about just doing so many things, right? I know I can do it with my son too, but it takes a lot more work in terms of planning things out because we do catch the subway or the bus, or sometimes we can't do it because no one's there to really take us around because mm-hmm. I'm not able to do that. Or there's sometimes when my son will, let's say, want me to read something. I need his books to be full on bolded and the captions and the letterings has to be so, so big, like the font, for me to be able to read him a book. Thankfully that he's able to understand that mommy's this way, that she can't see well, because I can't see my, I can't even see my own writing. That's my husband's job to like do all that stuff for me. If I do have to write something, or he'll just navigate me. So there's just some things like I can't think of the top of my head, but when you look at everyday life, I just can't do certain things. So I feel like things are taken from me. So it was a hard transition of like accepting where I am and grieving that part of me, because this is my new life and I don't even know what else can happen, right?
What would you say is the biggest thing that it's given you?
Oh my gosh, being able to just fully share my real side of me, like that I am still very special, and leading me that I'm home. I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I'm able to create a life and share this life with my family and make a living of fucking what I'm doing. Like I'm just being me and I'm able to contribute for my family and be there for my community. Because I have to bring this up, because I have to really talk about this, is because people that are disabled don't get many chances, don't get a lot of opportunities. And when we do though, such as whatever I'm doing with myself, is because I'm able to just share the real side of me. Like people are accepting me for my disabilities, for my craziness, who knows, right? So me, because back then I thought my life was over. Like who's going to fucking want to be my friend, let's say. Or before this life, my husband and I were just newly engaged. Who thought that he would still want to marry me? Mm-hmm. But my point is that we don't get many chances. And every time I get an opportunity, such as even like talking to so many different people that are incredible, I am truly blessed because I'm able to share my story, also connect with so many incredible people, and just know that we're not alone. Like I'm not alone. And I thought for many years I was.
Mara, this has been a real treat, and we really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to sit down with us and share your experience and share, you know, why it is that you are so valuable as a patient advocate in this space. And yeah, it was just so nice to meet you in person.
So nice to meet you guys. I'm very thankful we were able to meet, hang out this way, and I'm truly, truly very thankful.
If anybody's out there listening and they want to stay up to date with the advocacy work that you do, how can people find you?
I'm just on Instagram. My platform, my handle is Ate Mara. It's A-T-E-M-A-R-A. It seems like it's Ate Mara, but it's not. It's Ate. That's big sister in the Philippine language, Tagalog. So I'm a big sister. You can message me anytime and whatever you feel like want to talk to me about, I'm always here.
Thank you so much. This has been really fun.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. That was a lovely conversation with a lovely lady who can't see very well. And now we're going to wrap this up. And I thought, you know, in that conversation when we were talking with Mara, there was something that was brought up that I feel like everybody says at one point in their life when they're like, I don't know, when they're high with their friends or some shit.
I'm specifically so curious about what this is.
Specifically about how do I know my red's your red? Oh, like that thing.
Yeah.
So that got me thinking, And I just happened to come across this very fascinating photo on Reddit. And it was the photo,
fucking dress where it's like,
is it blue or is it black?
Yeah.
It's blue or gold. No, it's quite different. So this is the image. I'll show you the image in a bit. But before I do, I'll tell you what the image was depicting. It was depicting a version of what people experience when they live with something called prosopometamorphopsia. There, I nailed it. So this is a visual disorder that Mara doesn't have because Mara can't see. This is for people who can see, but they can't see very well, which I suppose is kind of like Mara.
I was like, that sounds exactly like Mara.
That sounds like retinitis pigmentosa.
But I feel like I would definitely prefer to be in Mara's camp because prosopometamorphopsia is a visual disorder characterized by altered perceptions of faces. In the perception of a person with the disorder, facial features are distorted in a variety of ways, including drooping, swelling, discoloration, and shifts of position. So it's literally a form of hallucination that only takes place in looking at other people's faces.
Sounds like when you, like if you take drugs.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard that when you take LSD from a friend of a friend, someone I don't even know really, because I don't associate with
drug doers,
with those fucking drug heads.
Yeah.
That when you look at someone's face when you're on psychedelics, their face can like morph. But this is
definitely don't look in a mirror.
Yeah.
When you're on psychedelics,
I've heard.
Now, anybody out there who is a drug doer, shame on you. And you might know what Brian's talking about here, but I'm going to tell you right now, this is way, way more intense.
Way worse. Than
that. Before we even get into this, like this is what makes me think that horror movies are just written by people who have these types of experiences where they like, you know, like I think of when people see ghosts in their house, like maybe you just have a carbon monoxide leak and like, that's why you think your place is haunted.
I mean, schizophrenia is a living horror movie.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Computer, turn on all lights.
Thanks, Brian. Ooh, that looks good. And if you want to see how good those lights are, head on over to YouTube. And actually, you're going to want to head over to YouTube because there's a lot of visualization here. I really can't wait to show you how fucking disturbing this is. So prosopometamorphopsia is distinct from prosopagnosia.
Of course it is.
Which is characterized by the inability to recognize faces. So that's like facial blindness.
Mm-hmm.
This is very different. About 75 cases of prosopometamorphopsia has been reported in the scientific literature. So it's extraordinarily rare. And now I say that, but we're going to get into this. There's a number of these sort of weird hallucinations that have to do with vision that oftentimes don't get reported because sometimes they're, you know, it's like, for example, someone who's elderly has it.
What's the name of the condition when you're looking at somebody's face and instead of their face, you see kind of like a yellow, gold, squiggly, sort of flashing countdown clock?
That is three-body problem. Actually, it's funny. I can't believe I didn't make this fucking three-body problem joke the other day when we were talking about those Siamese twins that married that guy. But anyway, whatever. That's neither here nor there. Three-body problem. Did you start it?
I only watched the first half of the first episode.
We'll see. Wait, is that why, like, you were actually referring to something that happens in that?
It was, yeah.
That's okay. That's not prosopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopopop So 75 cases have been reported. And in about half of the reported cases, features on both sides of the face appear distorted. In the other half of cases, distortions are restricted to one side of the face. And this condition is called hemiprosopor. Let's just add more fucking syllables to this fucking.
There's got
to
be an acronym.
God
for
damn it.
It,
Propsy. We'll call it Propsy. Yeah,
there you go.
Okay. So presentation. Let's get into it. Generally, faces tend to appear distorted to a person who is affected by this condition. Those who suffer from this condition are able to recognize faces normally, but perceive them as really strangely disfigured. These facial hallucinations are usually described as ugly and have prominent eyes and teeth. Some have described the faces as having a cartoon-like quality.
Like a caricature.
Or
maybe.
Aliens.
Maybe they're seeing, right? Have you guys ever seen, They Live?
Nope.
Classic alien movie from like the 80s. It's fucking hilarious. One of the best fight scenes ever. You've probably seen it. Two guys fighting in an alleyway and he's like, put the glasses on. It's fucking Rowdy Piper. And he's like, put on the glasses. And the other guy's like, I don't want to fucking wear those glasses. And they fight over it until he puts them on. Anyway, when he puts on the glasses, he can see Obey, you know, the Obey, brand, that logo came from They Live. So he sees those faces in everybody. And it's not in everybody. In everybody who is actually an alien living among us.
Right. They're like those big sort of, they're like big heads, right?
No, they're regular size heads, but they've got, they kind of look like faces stripped of their skin. They kind of look like a weird sort of like skeletal. But this is kind of like that, where it's like, okay, if I had this, I would go, well, you're an alien. So, you know, are you trying to stick something up my ass or take my sperm and do something weird with it? I don't know.
You just get this? Just get this?
So yeah, yeah. So
that's how Jeremy feels about most things that happen. He's like anything that's like kind of odd or strange.
Just gonna have to put it in my ass. Like,
I guess you're just gonna have to put something in my ass or try to take my sperm. And everybody knows there's only one way to take your sperm.
It's funny. Everybody keeps saying that. Why do you keep bringing that up? Dude, chill. I ordered a coffee the other day and they're like, do you want to go? And I was like, are you going to stick something up my ass?
Do you want to take my sperm?
Leave my sperm alone. So faces have been known to be perceived as contorted and having like a displaced feature. So I want to show you the image. This is what I found online. Okay. So on the right, you see the normal person's face on the left. On the right, you see what this person with Propsy is looking at.
How do we know that? Like, I mean, this is coming back to they describe your red, my red.
They describe it, and then a sketch artist. Yeah, again, you know, sketch artists can do that stuff. You know, you describe what you're seeing. And
But then they're showing it to them, and they're like, "Is this what you're seeing?" And they're like, "Whoa, that's way off."
Right? They see like a double distorted version of it, or it actually just looks normal when they see it.
What does this look like to you guys? Is this a remind
it
you of
like, like? It looks like a cat. Felix the cat.
Oh, I think it looks more like ape like.
What about, does this remind you of any, does this remind you of this? You guys remember Mario Party, the Facebook?
I've been playing this.
Yeah, I remember this.
Recently.
For folks just listening, you fucking ding-dongs, go to YouTube. But we're watching Mario Party face pull, where you can pull Mario's face and make him look silly. Make him look like you got propsy.
Oh.
That's really fun. Another thing that it reminds me of is, you guys didn't play it, but Baldur's Gate. So these faces look like the Githyanki.
Well, I didn't play Baldur's Gate because I thought I'd develop a problem.
Oh, fuck you! develop a depression.
I'd get depression.
They look like troll elves.
So the Githyanki are a character in D&D. It's a race in D&D. They are aliens, and this is their faces. Kind of similar, right? And actually, the last playthrough of Baldur's Gate, I actually had a Githyanki monk. So I went home on the lunch break today. And I recorded my Githyanki monk to show you guys his ugly face and his amazing power. This is my Githyanki monk murdering two children goblins with fire. There he is. All right.
This is what you were doing at lunchtime?
Fuck yeah, Zen. Zen the Githyanki. Now, I also brought up the character creator. So you can see here again, here's the Githyanki. And they look, I mean, they look very much like a human. If you were looking at a human with propsy, the rest of the human looks very normal. So you can see here, this is the Githyanki, and he's got a piece on him.
I don't like the.
Will YouTube be okay with that?
I think so.
All right, that was a Githyanki penis for anybody just listening.
I'm curious.
Do you see how it wiggles? Like,
it responds to the rotation.
Even the balls.
It's very good animation. Do you guys find that those holes are giving that?
Wait, what holes?
Trypophobia.
Yeah.
Wait, what holes?
I can see
they're not holes, but they're spots. Like, yeah, they're spots. But they're liver spots.
They're like giving. Stop being fucking ageist, dude.
They're giving those.
He's a 480-year-old Githyanki. He has liver spots.
Oh, I thought liver. Vibes. Oh, I was thinking for a minute there. I was thinking alcohol. Don't be alcoholist.
Different liver spots. So, for example, one patient described a person's face as having a nose deviated to the side, the mouth lying at a diagonal, and one eyebrow being higher than the other, which also made me just think that, you know, to be honest, you're just looking at a beautiful piece of Picasso art.
On acid.
Yeah, that's it.
It does just sound like you did drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not that any of us would know.
So the way that people, the causes, I think the jury's still out, or maybe they're in. Who knows? The jury's somewhere. The definitive cause for propsy is still unknown. So the jury's in.
Nope.
Several potential theories have been expressed in the literature in this area. Generally, this condition has been associated with damage or abnormalities in various parts of the brain. So you've got the temporal, the occipital, the parietal, and the frontal lobes. That's where they've found sort of either trauma or some sort of abnormality in the brain.
They've found it all over the brain?
No. Most of these places have to do with facial recognition, apparently, all in sort of different areas. But here's a really interesting part here. In some cases, the development of propsy has been recorded to be a manifestation of epilepsy.
Hmm. Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
I have no idea why that's interesting. It just is.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's so rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think your interesting is the same as my interesting?
I know that's an interesting question.
I can't help but think of how terrifying that would be to.
I'm actually truly scared.
I'd be truly scared if I had it. So propsy is considered what's considered a face hallucination, and it's included under the umbrella of complex visual hallucinations. I didn't realize it's a big umbrella. Unlike other forms of hallucinations, such as peduncular hallucinosis.
That sounds fun.
Or Charles Bonnet syndrome.
Not so fun.
I'm going to get into that because I think that might be something that I need to worry about. Propsy does not predominate at a particular time of day, so unlike those two, and it's a constant experience. So you are just constantly seeing this form of distortion.
So if you get it, can it go away?
So yeah, there's ways that they have found it to be treated in a somewhat successful way. But before we get into that, I want to talk about
anal therapy.
Yeah.
They have to take your sperm.
Big probe goes up your butt. They take your sperm and they put it into some, you know, some Githyanki ovaries. Charles Bonnet syndrome. So prior to doing the research on this, I've never heard of it. And it's a syndrome that refers to the visual hallucinations caused by the brain's adjustment to significant vision loss. And it occurs most often in elderly people who are more likely than any other age group to have eye conditions that affect sight, such as age-related macular degeneration. Do you know why that sounds familiar?
I don't know. We talked about this recently, though.
We did.
Yeah.
I got my 23andMe results back.
Yes, yeah.
And turns out I don't have CF, but I do have a predisposition for age-related macular degeneration. So when I read this, I was like, fuck, all right, what the hell is Charles Bonnet syndrome and how bad will that be? Well, types of hallucinations in Charles Bonnet syndrome, generally the hallucinations tend to occur when the person is alone, quiet, and in a familiar environment, for example, when lying awake in bed. Fuck. The two types of visual hallucination most common to Charles Bonnet syndrome include simple, such as patterns and lines. For example, the person may see brickwork images, netting or mosaics, or complicated, okay? Such as seeing people, buildings, landscapes, or places. Complicated hallucinations are more likely to occur in people with severe vision loss. So you see, from what I gathered by looking up images of what people see on Charles Bonnet syndrome, you would see
on it,
like
on,
when you're,
like
when you're,
like it's a drug.
We took a huge dose of Charles Bonnet right up the, when you boofed it up the bum and then gave it your sperm. Well, you see the room, right? Like I would see you guys. I would see the cameras. I would see our setup here. But
what cameras?
Layered. What? Huh?
I'm actually truly scared.
I'm scared. You would see kind of layered over like a what do you call it? A collage of images
that
don't exist. So here's an example of someone on the street with Charles Bonnet syndrome. They're just looking at the street and then they see all this shit that's not there.
Actually?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, all
wait,
that
but
stuff,
how did they know? How did they know that this is what they're seeing?
Right. What, like, are your street lights my street lights?
But really, though, actually, like, how do
sketch
they
sketch artists, man.
But
they described it.
Is it that your brain is just sort of like trying to fill in stuff that you can't see?
So what I gather is that it is the brain's reaction to vision loss, where it's going, ah, fuck, this is weird. I can't see patches of space, but I see the room, but like some of the patches of the room are gone. So I'm going to, as your brain to try to aid you, I'm just going to fill those spots with things that you recognize.
This is exactly what generative fill on Photoshop is.
Dude, what a fucking perfect description. That's what they should be putting on the web.
Totally right. Like it's like that. You're missing this middle section. It's like, I kind of understand that like peripherally, this is what you're seeing.
AI's like, I got you. Yeah. Your brain's going, I got you. I'll put a refrigerator right there.
Yeah,
really. You're like, fuck, I'm in the bathroom.
That's wild.
And it's probably just about as good as generative AI, Phil.
Yeah. Lines are a bit off.
Where you're like, that's
the blending here is not good.
Right.
Yeah.
Why does it have seven fingers?
Yeah. So treatments for propsy are antidepressants such as citalopram and antipsychotics such as quetiapine have been recorded as unable to facilitate improvements for these symptoms. So nothing.
I mean, they're just.
I thought that was
going
to go further.
It's
like, we threw some shit at the wall.
Here's some stuff that we thought would work, but didn't.
It sounds like they're like, well, you know, like we can make you less sad about it.
Yeah, if you're really sad about it, then maybe the depression medication will help.
So a couple of case studies to give you examples. So one study reported a 24-year-old woman who developed propsy after a childbirth. Initially, she developed severe migraines and blurred vision, mainly in her right visual hemifield.
Was it her childbirth or somebody else's?
It was hers, and she was in a confused state. The visual disturbances persisted long after the migraine and had subsided several hours later. Here's the interesting part. She described the left half of people's faces as out of place and would see these distortions irrespective of whether the faces were familiar or unknown. However, she was able to visualize the faces of familiar people in her mind without the distortions. And it was discovered that the woman had a left hemisphere lesion, which resulted in distortions of just the left half of faces which she was exposed to.
Isn't that so crazy? That like if I'm looking at you, Taylor, sitting across from me, and like the room seems normal, but for some reason, the left hemisphere of my brain is affecting the way that I see the left side of your face. Like that's what's happening, right? Like
I guess.
It's like, yeah. Like something in your brain is distorting not the rest of the room, but like specifically
just the left.
Yeah. Because of the way that my brain processes your face.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. The camera lens is just fucky.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's so hard to figure out the brain. It seems like such a simple thing. Yeah. You know?
I mean, it's right there.
It's like, right there. You can see it. You can look at it. Why don't we know what's going on with it?
Yo, science. What is it all about? Technology. What is that all about? Is it good or is it whack?
We'll never know. Here's another one. This one's actually horrifying. A 52-year-old woman suffered from a lifelong history of seeing faces morph into dragon-like faces.
Well, that's drugs.
And reported hallucinating similar faces several times a day. Initially, she would recognize the actual faces, but after a while, they would become black, grew long pointy ears and a protruding snout, displayed reptile-like skin, and had large protruding eyes and bright colors. This is the alien part that I'm talking. It's like, I feel like you're just seeing the ones that are among us. She would see these faces coming towards her several times in a day from objects like electrical sockets. They're just coming at her.
Wow.
Fuck.
Wow. That's a bad generative fill.
She also had these hallucinations in the dark. She had previously suffered from recurrent headaches, passage hallucinations, which is to see movements in the corner of the eyes, and zoopsia. She saw large ants crawling all over her hands.
Wow. Except it's ants. Now that, yep. 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 That, but, oh, we're still going. That, but, yeah, ants.
An MRI of the brain showed minor white matter abnormalities near the lentiform nucleus and in the semival center.
Wow.
Those are craters on Mars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a fucking horrific. I mean, again, it's just like anything that causes hallucinations where you're not trying to have a real cracking good time with your friends at a cabin.
That's scary.
I'm curious to know how they figured out that these people weren't having like psychotic breaks.
Probably, yeah. Well, I mean, probably.
Because if it's happening all the time and they seem. I
don't know either, but my bro science guess would be like psychotic breaks. There's a lot more boxes that need to be checked. So it's like, you know, I'm looking at you and it's just the left side of your face is fucked. I don't hear voices. Right. I'm not
like erratic behavior. I don't feel across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. And everything is typical except for the way that I'm seeing a face. And so it's very, very specific.
I could see how
the bees lady, I don't know.
I could see how that would
sounds like maybe
that would almost make you go crazy though.
Oh my god.
Like experiencing that.
Yeah. You had that all the time.
Because if I was sitting here and all of a sudden like I was looking at you guys and your faces started to look fucked up and I was like, guys, I'm seeing your faces all fucked up.
I wonder if you just learned to live with it.
Like that would be terrifying.
Do you think we would react the same way you and I react when Taylor starts to quote the last episode of fucking Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I think
like where we would go, okay, yeah. Right, well, here we go again. Brian saying that my face looks like a fucking lizard and he's afraid I'm going to take his sperm and shove something up his butt.
Everybody needs to know.
You'd be more understanding for sure.
I think so too. I think I would be scared for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys want to hear about the finale?
No.
Shut up!
Let's wrap this up. Thanks, folks, for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed that. And we will be back next week with another fantastic
reporting. One.
And in the meantime, if you want to support the podcast, follow us on YouTube, hit the notification bell, leave a comment on this video. And over on Spotify, you can interact with the Q&A, or you can also ensure that you are following us there or on Apple Podcasts. And of course, come on over to our Discord. The link to our Discord channel is in all of the show notes, so you can find it right there. Lovely to have a growing community of really cool folks with a variety of different illnesses and some folks who are just waiting for one to come along. So that could be you joining our little community.
Yeah, that's basically everybody on planet Earth. If you want to be a guest on the show, go to sickboypodcast.com and fill out the guest form.
And thanks to our manager, Jeff Lonis, to Rich O'Coin for the theme music, and to Darren for sponsorships.
I'm going to have to bleep that.
No, dude, that was a deep cut. That's hilarious. Nobody knows why that's funny.
Darren.
All right, let's wrap.
That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jeremy, and this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.